Indeed it does. Fast Money starts right now live from the NASDAQ market site overlooking New York's Times Square. I'm Tyler Matheson in for Melissa Lee. Our traders on the desk are Tim Seymour, Carter Wurst, Steve Grasso, and Guy Adami. Tonight, the S&P near record highs ahead of the trade talk set for this weekend. I'm calling it the G20.
G20.
But the chart master says there's trouble brewing and he'll explain. Plus, UBS slashing its price target on Tesla for the third count at time this year. We will hear from the man behind the call. And we start with the market stocks closing out their best first half of the year in two decades. The S&P up an impressive 17%. Tech, far and away the best performing sector, up 26%. Healthcare, the worst, up just 7%, trailing the broader market. So with the trade talks ongoing and Fed cut hopes still high, do you stick with what's working? Guy Adami,
well, first of all, Tyler, Tyler Matheson.
It's special.
It was at the last day of last trading for the year. This is the last day of trading for the quarter. They call me the closer.
And you're doing a great job. And you had that ramp up late in the S&P 500. I mean, I know Steve's been on back of this. Market's going to rally, and the market has been rallying. I don't trust it, but I haven't trusted it for quite some time, for full disclosure. I think the quarter-end markup was definitely real. But to answer your question about tech, I think you got to fade it. I do not think a deal with G20, as you just said, I don't think it's happening. I think the Chinese are stringing us out. You know, maybe President Trump will come back and say what a great meeting they had and they love each other. But I don't think we're any closer to a deal today than we were 6 months ago, Tyler.
If the weekend ends with no deal, as most people think, but kind of a truce, let's keep talking.
That's enough.
Is that enough to keep the market going?
Isn't that priced in?
No, I don't think it's priced in yet. I think people got overwhelmingly negative on the lows of the S&P. I think if you get a status quo or a neutral, basically nothing, as long as Xi doesn't walk out of the meeting, that's an ultra positive for the market.
Ultra positive. But remember, what sent the market into a spasm in May was the idea that the talks were not going well on trade. That's what we spent all of May working through and June recovering from.
Until, Tyler, the Fed came in and said, we are the most important person in the room. And I still think it's about the Fed, and I think it's about July, and I think it's about 100 basis points that are effectively priced into this market, certainly 75 between now and year end. I think what's interesting is, first of all, positioning. When you talk about the smart money, I'm talking about long, short hedge funds. I'm talking about certainly the fast money community, not necessarily this desk, but people that have been essentially flat to net short their equity bogeys now for a good part of the year. And frankly, this is part of the paint trade that I actually think takes it higher. You've got strategists that basically are bifurcated. Hey, we're going into resistance. A lot of great news priced in, as Carter says. But then if we get through this G20 with an announcement, I actually believe, and that's they think it goes higher.
Guy says fade the trade on tech.
So we know it was a great first half. But it was what followed, of course, after the worst December since 1931. So it's just the reciprocal of the sell-off as the ricochet. But here's the real important thing. Right now, guidance for Q2 is running at a negative rate that's not seen since the second quarter of 2006. So meaning there are 113 S&P companies that have issued guidance, and 87 of them are saying it's going to be below consensus. That's at the highest negative rate in 13 years.
And I don't think that matters. And I'm not disregarding that, but to Tim's point, and what I feel is that the Fed is the most important thing happening here. And if trade goes south, you have the Fed backstop. You would agree with that, right?
Right.
I mean, we've heard everything. Even though Powell,
we are the world.
Powell is terrible.
We are the
when
people.
When he speaks. Powell is
love
terrible. He
song.
Does not ease the market. But if that happens and things go negative or earnings go negative, you have the Fed backstop. So I do believe you could move higher, and I do believe you could still buy tech.
Agree 100%.
Tech has led for the last five
years.
Agree
100% that he is learning how to message, and sometimes clumsily.
I don't even think he's learning
talk
at all.
Talk to me about tech, though. Let's come back there and join the argument.
Well, you mentioned we are the world. I mean, something like Google has basically sounded like Cyndi Lauper did in her little vignette in We Are the World. Not so good. Google and some of the big mega cap tech names really have been the ones that have been holding the market back from otherwise we would be well through this. And I think that is the place that you want to be looking. I think you want to be looking at first at the underperformers. And it's hard to call Google deep value, but relative to its peer group, relative to its top line, relative to its PEG ratio, those are names that I actually think have been beaten up by the headlines we know and the expectations that the world was slowing. And I think actually this is a great opportunity.
And how about healthcare? Guy nailed this the other night. We had these two debates that were extremely painful to watch from where I stand on my ideology. But what did you hear about? Single payer. You heard about Medicare for all.
All about health care.
You heard about all this. Now, health care had been a leader. Health care for years before this. Tech has been a leader for 5 years. Health care really had some decent performance. But I think it's going to be mired in negative headwinds here going forward to the election.
Talk to me about tech a little more.
It pains me to say this about Fang, because I want to dislike Facebook so much for a number of different reasons, and I think we all probably have our bias.
You're able to.
But with that said, you can't deny the stock over the last couple weeks at least has performed really well. Tim will correctly say it's underperformed, but I think the stock, the way it sets up now, given the backdrop, given earnings in a month or so, sets up really well on a benign tape. So I think Facebook up to 220, which was the previous high this past fall or so, probably makes a lot of sense out of those four names, Tyler.
And yet what we know is the New York FANG Index, which was created and started trading about a year ago, is lagging badly because some of the greats have faltered, like a Baidu, a Tencent, and so forth. So it's a selective case to be made where certain stocks are doing well. Microsoft's a beast, right?
Or Microsoft's a beast. That is one of the great stories to me of the past few years, is how this new CEO has taken that company and turned it around, because it was dead money for 15 years.
Well, the thing about Microsoft is they were really the ones that, and I mean the multiple of the stock was rewarded with their move to the cloud, which they were already there, their recurring revenue. But what I think people forget is that the cloud has gotten very, very crowded. And I think margins for enterprise are going to continue to be a drag on the guys that have priced it in already. So you're absolutely right. I think Microsoft was yesterday's story, but I think it was yesterday's story. To me, you know, the FANG that's underperformed is the FANG to me that has the best fundamentals. I don't like Facebook here. I think I've mentioned Google. I think Apple and Amazon, however you're spelling your FANG, are both places, despite that Johnny Ive news overnight, you know, the stock
doesn't trouble you.
Doesn't trouble me.
Doesn't trouble you that he's leaving. I kind of cut you off there. I'm sorry, a minute ago.
No, I mean, I'm just saying it's not as clear as it's just tech. There's sort of Facebook has lagged, Google has lagged, Apple has lagged. It's Microsoft and other sort of newer tech, mid-cap names that have really dominated the run and have not faltered. But super-cap names that were former darlings, and a lot of them FANG index names, are not performing.
As you look back on the first half and you look at the IPOs that have come out, how do you grade it?
I guess you've had ones that have, you probably give it a C to a B because you've had ones that have dragged it down. But I guess for the most, maybe I'll give it a B plus, because for the most part, you've had a lot of these names that have taken off.
You got
off.
Was that yesterday, right? I guess, and Beyond Meat, everybody knows about Beyond Meat.
And I think Uber kind of clouded everyone, because everyone
Uber
was including myself, I thought Uber was going to have a much better performance right out of the gates than it did, and I think that sort of clouded my judgment on the rest of the IPOs.
Guys, Uber's
definitely
up. FYI, Uber's up from the IPO.
But right when it came out,
and Lyft is up 40% from the lows. So I think you have to give the IPO market, the dynamic of the IPO market, whatever you want to say about the companies that aren't making money and some of them that structurally never will. When the Fed is giving money for free, and it coincided with the time, and I think this is the problem. You have a lot of companies, and I think a lot of them coming out of Silicon Valley, that don't make money in an environment where money's free. People are buying them.
Carter, you've been a very bad boy, and I'm told that this is the point at which I tell you, you have to leave the desk.
Leave the desk and go
and
do
get up and right. Walk over
so,
there.
I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go walk
and
over
here
there.
He goes.
I'm being
as punishment.
Being
he
cast
is going to walk
out,
across.
Cast out. Okay,
and tell
so,
us why he thinks the rally is about to stall.
So here's the thing.
Mr. Wirth.
The rally stalled 15 months ago. That is the key to this entire segment we're going to talk about here. This is a Friday. Similar to today, it is 17 months ago, Friday, January 26, 2018. At that moment, the S&P 500 registered its highest weekly RSI reading ever recorded, higher than in 1987, higher than .com in March of 2000, higher even than 1929. It was on that basis, one of many oscillators, but the weekly RSI, the highest reading ever registered in the history of the equity market. That's excess. And we basically have been risk off ever since. So let's pull some charts forward and go from there. So from that moment, consider this line and consider what the market has done. Put in the market. The market has basically been churning. Now, some are making the case that it's going to break out, but what's important is all during this phase, that's 17 full months, it's been entirely risk off, even though tech has performed. So let's talk about that and put it into context. From that point, that blow off top, again, the most overbought ever registered, Look at the performance of the equal-weight S&P. No results. The S&P up slightly. Gold up more. Treasury bonds up more. REITs up more. Utilities up the most. The point is, the market, the rally stalled a year and a half ago, and there's a great debate whether this stall is a rest before we break out, or, of course, it's a stall before we roll over. And both camps have good arguments to be made. But there is no confusion, right? The market, as it were, stalled almost a year and a half ago. And that is a condition that can't be argued with. Now, the equal weight, which in a way adjusts for true market breadth, because we know that super cap names, the top five names, are more value than the bottom 250. If you take the S&P and make it an equal weight index, it is virtually stuck at those highs. So if you look at this line, it has stopped here repeatedly. And again, a lot of people are calling for a breakout. We would need a lot of things to happen for that to happen. Most notably, a little bit encouraging today, banks, but industrials and energy and materials. It can't just be these super cap names, beasts like Microsoft, driving the way. So the point is here, you know, it's anybody's guess, and both arguments are valid, but there is no confusion. It's entirely risk off for the past year and a half, and equities, risk adjusted, are the worst place one could have been for the better part of 18
months. It's an amazing illustration. You have done your time in the penalty box. You can now
come back.
You can come back, right? Let's take a vote. We say,
well, Tyler,
back.
I mean, come on.
Let's bring him back, right?
Carter Worth, hey, you know, if there's you're on the Mount Rushmore of CNBC. I mean, you are right. But Carter is on the Mount Rushmore of technicians.
Just like entertain with an empty seat, it wouldn't be great.
It wouldn't be an empty seat. An empty seat.
Let me take a pick and a chisel to Rushmore for a second, because I actually could make an argument that blow-off top was so extraordinary that the activity we've had since then, I think, has been extraordinary. And by the way, it hasn't been the same top. We topped at 2860, 2870. Then we went up to 2930. Then we went up to 2960. We're slowly moving higher.
But
you can't tell me we're stopping.
Equal weight. And actually, if you look at the value line, which is even broader equal weight, it's the S&P 500 plus the next 1,200 biggest names, 1,700 stocks plotted equal weight. That has stalled and even more so rolled over. So the issue is, again, and I tried to make that case, there's a perfectly good case that we do break out, and there's others that are making the opposite case. Mine is that I think we roll over. But there is no confusion that equities, risk adjusted, have not been a good place to be.
Lot of all. So let me tie off the block by asking each of you this question. Better than 50% chance that the market ends the year higher than it is today, or a lower than 50% chance?
I think we're higher.
Better than 50% chance that we're higher?
Better than 50%.
I would say, based on what we know about forward guidance, lower.
Less than 50% chance we end the year higher.
Better, and I think we close above 3,000 in the next week.
Better than 50%.
Remember Card Sharks, Ty? You're a
fan. I do.
Lower, Tyler.
You have to break
lower.
The tie.
A less than 50% chance we are higher.
Break the tie.
At the end of the year.
Tie.
Break the tie, Ty.
I say we will be a better than 50% chance we are higher.
Attaboy.
3-2. The Supreme Court has been broken.
Right.
The Chief Justice has voted. Coming up, Tesla. Woo! In turmoil, shares have been spiraling downward, and one top analyst just cut his price target for the third time this year. He will be here to explain why. Plus, beer stocks are, yes, of course, they are bubbling up this month. And there's one surprising name leading the way. We've got those details, and we're live from Times Square in New York City. There is much more fast money ahead right after this. Tesla getting re-energized over the past month. The stock up about 20% in the last month, but UBS isn't buying it. Cutting the price target for the third time this year and reiterating its sell rating on Tesla. Call of the day, and U.S. Autos analyst Colin Langan is behind it. He now has a $160 price target on Tesla, down from $200. He joins us now. Colin, welcome. Good to see you again. Why are you letting the air out of the tires on Tesla?
You know, what we look at is, I think we're going to see a lot of the surge you've recently seen is on expectations that they're going to do pretty well on Q2 deliveries, which, based on our channel checks, we tend to agree, given the June sort of surge you typically see. We think deliveries will be good, and that was what we highlighted in our note today. But I do think that what people are missing is that profitability in the second quarter, when they report later in July, will actually miss the mark. Largely because a lot of the deliveries we've seen is actually driven by pricing, and I think people are underestimating the margin pressure that will have.
And so it's pricing that is bringing the margin pressure in.
Absolutely. So what they did earlier this month is they basically made the autopilot standard, actually early in April. They made autopilot standard. This was a $5,000 option, and they increased the price on average by about $2,000. So you're taking a very lucrative option. I mean, most of that went right to margin and making it and only increasing it to $2,000. So you're talking about a $3,000 margin hit. When you blend it out based on take rates of what autopilot, we estimate it's about $900 in margin pressure per vehicle.
But if I'm reading you right, what you expect here is potentially a pop in the stock when the delivery numbers come out, followed by a fade, right?
No, that's absolutely what we wrote in our report today. We expect a pop on the delivery number as bulls probably get appeased by the demand recovering from the decline in Q1. And then you have the reality sink in that a lot of this was driven by really two factors, the pricing that I mentioned. And secondly, there's a little bit of a pull forward because in the U.S., the U.S. EV tax credit actually fades down July 1st. So there's about $1,900 savings. So you're better off buying in June than July. And you're probably seeing some benefit from that as well. That's why I think we go into the second half of the year, you're going to see deliveries fade. And you're still going to have this margin pressure because the price cuts will probably stick through, which means that, you know, currently consensus is forecasting a profit and we have losses in the second half.
So Colin, hey, it's Tim, and I think 360 to 400,000 in deliveries is a dream. But I'm looking more at your static weighted average cost of capital and really not a lack, but I would be focused on the balance sheet. I would be focused on all the signals that the company and frankly, with suppliers, there's a whole number of dynamics that tell me this company's going to have trouble making it 5 years. We had the folks from ARK Invest on our show who have been very solid in the name, have a thesis that's a 5-year thesis. I don't know how you can have that.
I think, you know, realize that they just raised capital. They raised $2.7 billion. That puts them at close to $5 billion in cash. So I think, you know, our estimates is they're kind of safe until 2021. And I think that that'll be a critical point to see where profitability is at that point. So they did buy themselves some time. So I think that's less imminent of a catalyst. I think though, the reality is they need to push those deliveries because this is a growth stock that's not demonstrating growth. And that you're pushing deliveries. And quite frankly, I think the near-term concern is where profitability is going to be. And then as you go to Q3, Q4, it's going to deliveries, I think, are going to disappoint as well.
All right, Colin, thank you very much. We appreciate your time tonight. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Let's trade Tesla. I wonder, he says that they're good through 2021.
Sold.
But at that point, competition is going to come. Audi's going to come. BMW's going to come.
Yes, that's a factor, too. But I think the issue of having money on hand is going to be a problem. Plus margin. Colin was talking about margins. The tax credit goes from $3,750 to $1,875 on Monday, and then it evaporates to zero December 31st. That's going to crimp their margins even
more.
Like a rebate.
They're
going to have to cut prices on the car,
yeah.
Or they're going to keep them the same. So either people aren't going to want the car, or they're going to make less money on the car. Either way, it's a negative for Tesla.
And the rally we've just seen is a classic bear market rally. To jump like that 30% off the low, right back to the point at which it plunged. Now it likely resumes its downtrend. It's just technically busted, and busted stocks do have bounces, but they're dead cat bounces, and that's all this was.
This was a $375 stock in December. Remember, October, November, December were horrible. This stock has made a series of lower lows and lower highs ever since. Tim's been on it fundamentally. Carter had a great call a couple weeks ago to buy that trough. But I got to tell you something. I think it rolls over. Goldman Sachs negative. Credit Suisse also just had a negative note. I think you retest those levels we saw a couple weeks ago, Tyler.
Independent company in 10 years?
Whole 10 years from now.
10 years.
I'm like 78 years old. I mean, I don't even know my name in 10 years.
All right, guys.
Great laugh track.
We'll leave it there. For more on Tesla and the other big analyst calls of the day, head on over to CNBC.com. Welcome back to Fast Money. Shares of Constellation Brands jumping today. Strong earnings report there. Company expects a sales boost from beer in 2020, and CEO Bill Newlands says consumers aren't picking just one poison.
One of the things that's changed in the last 20 years is today's consumer drinks across all three categories, beer, wine, and spirits, much more than what had happened historically. And we're perfectly positioned for that. We have all of our products in the high end. Whether you talk about our wine business, our beer business, or our spirit business, we're playing in the high growth, high margin sectors of the business, and it's paying off for us.
Well, Constellation and some of the other beer stocks turning up for the start of the summer. So is the party just getting started?
Oh, my.
Or not? Are you chugging these stocks or not?
Here's the problem with beer, though. Beer is beer is spiraling downhill, but Modelo Corona have been outperforming the group. So they're up 23%. The stock is up 23% year to date. They have a cannabis play as well. But if I look at Sam, Boston Beer Company, they've outperformed by 2x. They have Dogfish. There was a merger a couple of months ago. I think you have to have a cannabis play.
Mm-hmm. Which Constellation
does. You have to have a well-versed, you have to have spirits, you have to have beer, and you have to have cannabis, which is what Constellation has over everybody else, even if they've underperformed against the Sam.
And what about the dog, Molson Coors? Just can't get
out of its own way.
I mean, making five-year lows. So it's very idiosyncratic, right? Case by case.
And Bud has some succeeding products, and Michelob Ultra is doing well, but their main brand, which is Bud Light, is down.
What happened in the beer industry about 4 years ago is you had massive consolidation, and there was a lot of financial engineering. And again, Bud, AmBev, the Brazilians were at it once again. Again, the guys at 3G Capital, big players there. I look at STZ. The fact that they grew 7.4% in that quarter on the top line was very, very impressive. When you talk about Canopy growth, they're saying this is going to be a billion top line by the end of 2021. The problem is, in the short run, it's been a hit on margins about 15, 20 cents.
Time for the final trades, gentlemen. Let's go around the horn. Tim, you get to go first.
Yeah, I labored long and hard about Google, so it would be silly for me not to choose it now. Google, have a great weekend.
All right, Carter.
I like biotech, and I think you can use XBI to play it long.
XBI. Mr. Grasso?
Home builders, interesting week. You saw Lennar get pummeled, and then you had KB Homes rally. That's rallying the rest of the group. I'm long Lennar. Stay long. 3A rule. Buy Lennar.
Ty, did you have fun?
I had fun. I know. This is so much fun.
Typically, I get out of here, 5:30. I'm out of here, like, zip,
bam.
But you know what? Is it okay if I hang out for a way?
Yeah, come on.
Sure, seriously?
Yeah,
I'll put
absolutely
a jacket on?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Sir.
CLF, Tyler. That'll get
all
you.
All right, CLF. That's it. All right, that does it for us here on Fast Money. Don't move. Special options action starts right after the break.